I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Well, good afternoon. Welcome to The Memo Podcast. This is Wednesday, October 7th. We're coming to you kind of live from the Bancorp South Arena in Tupelo.
It's live right now. I mean, we're looking live around and there's people, but as you're listening to this, it's maybe a little bit later in the day. But
yes, we are at the Imagine the Possibilities Career Expo here at the Bancorp South Arena. This is where over 3,000 eighth graders over the last 2 days have been able to come and get a hands-on innovative experience for careers later in life. It's so much more than a career fair or a job fair, really. You can't even call it that because of the amazing things we've gotten to see over the last couple of days. And today's episode is going to be coming to you from here. And we're going to get started right now. We've got several guests to talk to and are going to come in and join us and tell us a little bit about this whole endeavor, what it took to bring this to Tupelo and how it's paying off for them.
Yeah, and it's kind of a cool deal. And we were here yesterday and we did a Google Hangout. If y'all missed the video, tough luck. No. But
you can find that at DJournal.com. We did a Google Hangout.
We sure did. Now today we're just sparing people looking at our faces. So just doing the podcast today.
Walking by as we put ourselves out here in front of a microphone.
But yeah, this is a cool deal. Like you said, job fair. It is really an expo. By the way, you should read the story that Emma Crawford wrote in today's journal, DJournal.com.
By the way, this is Brad Locke and I'm Derek Russell. How about that?
In case you didn't catch that, yeah.
We didn't do it.
I guess we didn't.
We haven't had coffee yet. It's early. This is the earliest we've recorded the podcast.
I've had one cup of coffee. I'm about to start my second.
Well, you're two up on me.
One cup is not enough. And I ate this blueberry muffin a while ago, and now my mouth won't stop watering.
I really wanted to. I came in at the wrong side. They had blueberry muffins on the other side.
You'll get another one.
I messed up.
May drool into the microphone, but not make Chris Kiefer happy.
I think up first we've got Mike Claiborne joining us, President of Create Foundation, and we're on the lookout for him. So we're going to get started here real quick.
Okay, and there he is. Here he is, Mike Claiborne, president of the Create Foundation. Mike, welcome in.
Thank you. Good to be here. I tell you what, the excitement around the Bancorp South Arena is bubbling over as we're waiting on another about 1,700 eighth graders to show up this morning. And I tell you, it's been a great, great experience so far.
Hey, we were talking with Larry Anderson yesterday. He said he's just been so excited to see this thing come to fruition and all the work that's been put in.
Yeah. You know, from the time we started talking about this till the time we were introduced to the folks on the Gulf Coast who actually have their third career expo coming up this November and had the opportunity to view what they're doing on the coast, we really were excited about the possibilities of what we could do here in our area and really the impact that it would make on the students and school systems in the area.
How important to have something like this? Because we're, again, talking yesterday, we didn't have anything like this growing up. I didn't have any kind of job expo or even a job fair. And, you know, so you're kind of, in a lot of ways, just kind of floating along at that age, not sure what
well,
to do.
The eighth grade is kind of a pivotal year in the life of a student. I mean, they're just starting to think about, you know, what they might want to do with their lives. They're making decisions about what courses they're going to take in high school. And so I think that this is an opportunity really to start to make the connection between education and what they're going to do for the rest of their life. And I think that's one of the issues that we have in education is the relevance of education.
Right.
And sometimes students just don't see the connection there. And I think this will be very helpful in helping them see that.
You know, now that you've had one day under your belt of this on Tuesday, what were kind of your impressions? Things go as well as you hoped?
Well, I tell you, I had pretty high expectations of it, but they were all exceeded. And you know, really the first time out of the chute, I mean, other than just some very minor things of, hey, you know, maybe we need to tweak this or tweak that. I mean, everything I don't think could have gone better. To just see the excitement in the students that are coming through. Yesterday afternoon, we had a group of 18 to 24-year-old opportunity youth, and to see the response of those folks was just really incredible. And you just, not only the students and people coming through, but really the energy level and excitement that exists with the people in the various pathways, it's just hard not to get pumped up.
How much do you really look at this also? Maybe people don't think about it. It's kind of a pretty cool just community event. I mean, we're set up over here next to WTVA, which, you know, in a lot of ways is our competition, but we're all kind of here doing the same thing, trying to help these kids.
Well, I think most everybody is proud of their profession and really look for opportunities to share that with other folks. And, you know, when you think about it, even students that come from families that provide a lot of exposure to them in terms of things around the world and even have a career role model in the home, mm-hmm. there are a lot of students that don't have that.
Right.
And really, for all students, there are not many opportunities for them to understand the kinds of things that are involved in various professions. And to understand, you know, what kind of education level it requires. I think sometimes we've been stuck in a paradigm of thinking that, well, everybody needs to go to college. Everybody needs to get a four-year degree. Well,
Right. That's
not true. And there are plenty of opportunities and professions that, yes, do require some kind of post-secondary credential, but they don't require 4 years. And actually, you can make a lot of money doing a lot of those careers. And so I think for the students and then the materials and everything that will go home that their parents will see, maybe we can make some progress in changing that paradigm of what it takes for someone to be successful. And again, as our good friends from the coast have pointed out, everybody learns differently.
Exactly.
And so it's just really been an exciting time.
Mike, I have to ask, just seeing the amount of people that have come through here yesterday and knowing what's coming today, it seems like for every 5 kids I see, there is some volunteer or some employee in one of these neon green shirts.
Yeah.
And just an amazing support group that has come in and helped with this. Where did we go to find volunteers? Where are these people coming from that are helping out with this event?
Well, they're coming from everywhere. And, of course, you know, this year we had 7 counties actually involved. And, of course, we've put out the call for volunteers. And so they've come from schools. They've come from people connected with companies that are actually participating in the pathways. And so, we over 500 volunteers act directly involved in helping put the event on. But then we also ask the schools to have one volunteer for every 10 students. So you can sort of do the math on that.
Yeah.
There's another 300 to 400 adults that are involved, you know, from the schools. Of course, yesterday we had 1,000 teachers to come through. Just from Tupelo and the Lee County schools, the CDF Industry Education Day. And so, you know, that was a really good opportunity.
Well, just seeing, and it may be different behind the scenes, but to not have a run-through or rehearsal or anything like that. I come from a theater background.
Right.
I'm used to rehearsing things and getting prepped up. It seems to have run extremely smoothly on everybody's part.
You know, we're just overwhelmed with how smoothly everything did run. And I think that's a great credit to the people that participated in the pathways. Of course, there was no run-through, but there was plenty of meetings where people were preparing what they were going to do. And again, I think having the example from the folks from the coast to see what they did, the different approaches that they took, you know, really gave our folks a lot of ideas, and listen, several of them have just knocked it out of the park in terms of the comprehensive nature of what they're providing. And, you know, just the health services area, I mean, to see a $1.3 million Da Vinci surgical robot that a student can actually sit down and manipulate, which, by the way, I think this particular unit is like 2 levels above the equipment that they have at the hospital.
Wow.
So, just a lot of cool stuff, and really, I think sometimes, you know, as we were talking about this, people thought this was something that, well, you just have a booth and you come by and you get a brochure and talk a little bit. That's not what this is.
Right. We were saying that yesterday during the web streaming. It's so much more than the typical job fair that Brad and I were used to as kids, where we would just show up, somebody hand us literature, and we'd go on to the next stop.
Right.
This is, and you can tell on these kids' faces when they come by how engaged they are.
Yeah.
And how much more innovative this is.
Yeah, I agree, and I think having this experience is going to be very helpful for the schools in maybe even better preparing the students before they come, and then also the follow-up. We're very hopeful that this is not just a great field trip, that it's really just part of a process that will start to trigger their thoughts and help them to dive deeper into whatever interest area that they have.
Mike Claiborne, president of Create Foundation, thank you for joining us today.
Listen, thank you for being here. I think the more opportunities that we have to share and connect this, it's just going to get better and better, and we're already thinking about next year and nailing the dates down.
Good deal.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we've got more guests coming in here. I got two guests at once. Let's see if I can pull this off. We've got Paige Roberts and Karen Sock, coordinators of the Pathways to Possibilities Career Expo on the Gulf Coast. So, Paige, welcome in.
Welcome. Thank you.
Karen.
Hi.
Welcome.
How are you? Thanks
Good.
For having us.
Glad y'all are here.
We are, too.
So tell me a little bit. Mike Claiborne was telling us now just a few minutes ago about how the Career Expo on the Coast kind of inspired them to do this one. So tell me a little bit about that expo and how it came about.
Okay, so the one on the coast is called Pathways to Possibilities, and it's modeled after the Worlds of Opportunities in Mobile.
Okay.
And some people that work for Alabama Power in Mobile learned about it from their counterparts with Georgia Power in Atlanta. And their counterparts at Gulf Power in Pensacola also were pivotal in doing one in Pensacola, Florida. So when we heard about it in Mississippi, we went and checked it out and decided that it could be done here, and we've had such great success with it on the coast that we're expanding across the state, and this Northeast Mississippi event is our first one to do. So we're very excited about this event.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the expansion of this expo, like you said, and I think you're getting some funds from the legislature.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Senator Bryce Wiggins was really pivotal in assisting us. He took us to the state capitol. We had the opportunity to sit with the Lieutenant Governor, Tate Reeves. We also met with Senator Gray Tolleson, and also Senator Buck Clark. And we presented P2P and asked for their support. And they all understand how important this is to our students, our eighth graders across the state, as they determine their career paths for the future. And we were thrilled to find out that we were successful in securing funds to strategically expand. So this event here is the first event outside the Mississippi Gulf Coast that will be supported with these expansion funds.
And where do y'all plan to go next with this?
It is our desire to go to the Mississippi Delta next.
Okay, good deal. What you've seen so far of this, Paige, looks like it's a resounding success to this point after day one.
Huge, huge. We are thrilled by the activities that the professionals have designed for the students here.
Yeah.
We're thrilled with the feel of community ownership and pride. I know that you had Mike Claiborne on,
right,
and that he talked about how the entire community comes together. The volunteers come from everywhere. The employers come from everywhere. The students cover 7 counties. I mean, this is a thrilling example of everyone being in the same boat, rowing toward the same shore with the same goal in the name of education and workforce development. And it's one of the things that Karen and I love the most about this event.
You were telling me off the air about how some people don't necessarily see how important that the merging, I guess, of education and workforce development is, but it's kind of what y'all are doing here.
Oh, exactly. The one error I think that many communities and decision makers make in our country is the error of working in silos, and that the public sector is doing their thing and the private sector their thing and nonprofit and nobody's really trying to figure out how to put their heads together to work as one. And this community, especially the CREATE Foundation, and with Mike Claiborne's leadership, they really get what it needs to make something like this a success.
Karen, let me ask, how many expos have y'all done on the coast?
This will be our third year.
Third year, okay.
And we host a little over 6,000 students from the six lower counties. And we are particularly impressed by a few things. Number one is how these professionals are able to take complex concepts and create activities to help kids really understand what the jobs are that they do. And then another thing is these exhibitors and professionals, they learn from each other as well.
Yeah.
And last but not least, this creates a huge network for these educators to reach out to these professionals when they're studying different topics in the classroom and being able to bring them in. And again, to reinforce what's going on here as these students make important decisions in terms of choosing an academic pathway in high school.
I'm kind of curious, only 3 years in, you won't be able to see, I guess, really tangible results until a few years down the line when these kids get to college, but
we're excited that you should say that.
And I was going to ask you, how do you, in a few years, how do you kind of plan on determining how well it worked, I guess?
Oh, I'm so delighted that you asked that. We just entered into agreement with the University of Mississippi, who's a research department, and we have signed an agreement to do a longitudinal study where we can look at short-term impact, intermediate impact, and long-term impact. So they're going to track the students from pathways to possibilities all the way through the next 10 years.
Wow.
And we'll be able to share that information because, to your point, as we continue to go to funders and ask businesses to support this type of effort, they're going to want to see some type of metric impact in a formal, independent research format. And so we're delighted to be able to have that opportunity.
That's really cool.
Yes, it is.
That's really cool. Well, ladies, I appreciate y'all coming on. Very enlightening, and I hope this thing continues to grow. Thank y'all so much.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, that's some good info right there, people. Good to know they're going to be tracking how these students do over the years.
I love how energetic everybody is about this.
They really are.
And how could you not be, to be involved with it so long and to see it come to fruition? But at the same time, just seeing everybody interact, we've not even been involved with it since day one, but just to get to see these kids' expressions has made a huge deal. Somebody who has interacted and been with it for several months now is our education reporter, Emma Crawford, and she's joining us now, not via satellite as she was yesterday.
She's with us now. Right next to
us. She's here. She's looking right at us. Hey, Emma, how are you?
Hi. Hey, guys. I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing well. Tell us a little bit. Everybody's talked about that we've had on today is talk about the overall event, what went into planning, the benefits of it. But none of that tells us exactly what, or it tells our listeners who aren't getting to come to this thing, what exactly is going on individually and specifically with different vendors. We're here, we're doing the podcast, we did a Google Hangout yesterday, we're sharing with kids about journalism, showing them newspapers, handing out reporter notebooks. What did you get to interact with yesterday and hope to see today walking around?
Well, yesterday I had a lot of fun. I went over to the health sciences pathway and they've got some really cool stuff. They have the Da Vinci surgery simulator. I mean, it's not really a simulator, I guess. I mean, it's the robot that they use to do.
Yeah, it's the actual thing.
Yeah, to do those surgeries. And so I got to play with that some. It's really cool, and it's really easy to use. I mean, it made me think that I could be a surgeon, which is, I couldn't, but it's that easy to use. And so I did that yesterday. It was really cool. They had you pick up pennies using the robotic arms to kind of simulate, if you were having to remove something from a very small area in surgery. So that was pretty cool. And then Toyota's got, they're calling it the Roadmap to Possibilities. And it's basically, it just takes you through all of the tasks kind of involved in putting together a Toyota vehicle. And so there's when they paint the cars, they have the paint training exercise that they do for their employees to help them get ready to paint the cars with the spray paint tool. And then there's one where they have the lug nuts and you can time yourself putting them onto the tire. And so they tell you the order to go in, and they give you the little gun, and you drill them on in that order, and they time you. So I did it in 18 seconds.
It's not bad. You could have a career as a NASCAR pit crew member.
I know, maybe. Right? That's what they told me. So I did that, and
is that the one that goes?
Yeah. Yes. It sounds like a dentist drill.
I just know this. Oh, now, well, now I have that connotation applied to it.
Thanks.
Yeah, sorry, that wasn't pleasant. And then NASA's got liquid nitrogen.
NASA's here?
Yeah, NASA's here.
Nice.
And they're
going to send you to Mars, Brad.
I'll hang out with Matt Damon. Sorry.
That's okay. So they're playing with that over there, and I mean, it's really cold. They let you touch it, and it's colder than dry ice. I think they said it's negative 350 degrees, so 350 below zero. And, you know, they tell you all about how it fuels rockets and the liquid form and the gas form and the pressure. And, I mean, it's just really cool stuff.
I miss NASA being here. I got to go find
that. Yeah, you need to check them out. They're pretty cool. Just pick their brain a little bit. They know a lot. And that's just, you know, me walking around for 30 minutes. So these kids who are spending an hour and a half here, I'm guessing, are just probably getting a lot more excited than even I was yesterday.
You got to climb in the ambulance for a little while yesterday, too.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually go in it, but I kind of peeked in it and looked around, and so that was cool. And they do have the cockpit of a plane out there that you can crawl into and look at all the controls and stuff, so that's pretty cool, too. And
yeah, Mississippi State Animal and Dairy Sciences has a sheep.
Yes. They do.
Actually in the building.
A live sheep.
And we're going to have it on the podcast next.
Do we get to share it live on the podcast?
Mm-hmm. That would be cool.
That'd be great.
And they're letting people listen to its heartbeat and its lungs with a stethoscope.
Cool.
So, I mean, it's just a lot. And there were chicks hatching over there, too, actually.
Chicks
in an incubator.
I saw somebody holding a tarantula a moment ago, and I walked quickly away from that.
Are you serious?
Nope.
Expo, yes.
Nope.
Yes.
Nope.
All in a very large, over by Animal and Dairy Science. It wasn't Animal and Dairy Science, but it was near them. It was a Mississippi State booth. And yes, they had a very large tarantula.
I'm not sure that I want to see that one.
Crawling on somebody's arm, and I ran.
I should take a picture of that, send it to my wife. She'll probably
That's
pass out.
Probably though. Not the best idea. Spiders
so
are
kind.
Not.
She hates spiders.
I'm not a fan. I can handle spiders more than I can snakes, but
I'm the one at home that has to clean them up and kill them.
I understand.
Nobody else.
I understand. I don't mind spiders, but keep snakes away from me. There's a snake over there. I'm leaving the building.
Yeah, I'm out. Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun things to do. I may just have to walk around if I get some time and try some stuff.
You need to. It's just cool stuff. I'm just amazed that they brought it all in here, you know? I mean,
yeah.
They really went above and beyond just to get all of this interactive stuff in here. And, I mean, I'm sure the kids are loving it. From what I hear, they're loving it. So.
I wish we had known about the air gun over at Toyota, because I think that would have been a great opportunity yesterday, not only for streaming, but for Brad and I to go up against each other and see who could do it faster.
Let's do this.
There's still time. We can still do it.
I can beat 18 seconds. I probably can. It was
You guys go against each other, and then winner goes against me.
I would injure myself, so I'd probably eliminate myself by that.
I don't think you'd injure yourself.
I probably would.
It's not that hard.
It's Brad.
I'm a klutz.
He's kind of a klutz.
I am.
He's kind of a klutz. Well, Emma, we hope you get to enjoy even more of the expo today. And we'll look forward to another story from you in tomorrow's paper.
Yes, another one in tomorrow's paper.
Thursday's issue of the Daily Journal. Look for another stellar story from roving reporter Emma Crawford. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, y'all.
Okay, let's bring in one more guest here, a guy very involved with this career expo, Dr. Larry Anderson. Hello, sir. How are you?
Fine. Thank you.
Welcome back. We had you on the webcast yesterday. Now you get to be on the podcast today.
I love it. I appreciate you all doing so much to put the word out.
It's a big deal. I mean, I didn't realize how big a deal it was till I got here. And obviously, it's been a big deal for you. Of course, you've been working with the CREATE Foundation, kind of working on the, you have some people working with the schools, and you're working more on managing this expo and getting it all put together. And how much work was that?
Well, it was a lot of work, but it's a labor of love. So there's a lot more love than labor.
Right.
But a lot of 18, 20-hour days, but so well worth it. When we opened the doors to the students yesterday and we had hundreds and hundreds of community volunteers to come in and do their part, and we see so many pieces of the puzzle where sort of my management style is that I've had some experience in planning, so I can organize things that need to be done and then find people who will accept the responsibility to perform those duties.
Right.
And then I like to turn them loose and not micromanage what they're doing. And so sometimes they're off doing their things and doing a really great job, and we check in periodically, but yesterday, when we opened the doors for the first group of students, and you could see it right before your eyes, all of those pieces coming together and interlocking, supporting each other, it was magical. It just, I don't know any other way to put it. It was just plain magic. And you can see that reflected in the faces of the students. Yep. Once they come in and they see that first barrage of, I don't know what this is going to be. They're somewhat reserved. They really don't know. Give them a few minutes and they begin to see what it is that's unveiling before them. And they just open up.
Yeah.
For the most part. Not all of them, but for the most part.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of smiles and whatnot and interested faces, kids being engaged. You know, at this age, that's not the easiest thing to do.
Well, that's right. And, you know, we talked about this yesterday afternoon, sort of a debriefing when it was all over. And we decided that one of the reasons the students have been so well behaved, I mean, they were like, we prepared for any kind of discipline problems or anything like that. None of that took place. Absolutely the opposite. We had students who were excited. We had a little difficulty getting them to leave. The students, many students said they wanted to stay longer.
That's good.
Some of the teachers wanted to stay not so long. And so they, that was just a few of those like that. But it was absolutely just wonderful to see all of that stuff happen. And the students had smiles on their faces. They were engaged. So we decided that probably the two factors that made the most difference were if they were engaged, if they were actively involved in participating with career professionals in those pathways, much like they were where we sit when there's the TV station has a green screen and the weather back there, and they can't wait. They just stand in line to get there to do those things. So if they're engaged and they're motivated, that's one. If they're engaged, they're motivated. The other thing is, in the places where there was some kind of competition, the students really have responded to that.
And
some of them even will want to go back to those exhibits where they did before. I remember seeing yesterday one particular exhibit where the students were going up, and it was actually some girls who were using impact wrenches, putting together some metal superstructure in one of the construction areas.
Wow.
And it made a lot of racket, you know, how they do that. They had earplugs in their ears, and it was fun because I began watching. The girls would finish, and it was time for another girl to come up, and they would loop back around and get in the line again to come back and do it. And that's probably been repeated in many places.
That's really cool. We had Paige Roberts and Karen Sock on here earlier from Pathways to Possibilities, and they kind of talked about how their idea was born down on the coast, and they kind of got it from Mobile, who got it the idea from some people in Georgia, who got the idea from some people in Pensacola, and now they're looking to expand it in Mississippi, and this is the first career expo like this outside of the coast. Seems like it's gaining some momentum, and, you know, it's going to spread around the state.
Absolutely, it is, and we know, we don't just think, we know that ours is the best of any of those that have been put on. We have learned from people who've done it before. And we're learning some things that occurred yesterday and how we can make it. We hope we can make it better.
Yeah.
The limitation that we have is physical space.
Right.
And that's going to be the case in any place they go. Where can you find a place that has enough space to show a lot of career opportunities in a meaningful way? And so when we first started getting the pathfinders, the career professionals who were going to display their careers, got together and we got them to start talking about what they wanted to do, their imaginations blossomed and exploded, and it became so wide, they were going to, you know, recreate the moon. It was wonderful. And then we said, well, we're pretty soon we're going to be out of space.
Right.
So when we sat with the architects to plan the floor plan for everything, before we finished the first meeting, we said, we're out of space. We're going to have to go back and tell them you have to go back. That was one of the hardest things to tell them. And for the career professionals, one of the hardest things to do, to try to reel themselves back in when they had so much to show. Now, that's a really good thing when people are so proud of their professions that they want to show this to eighth graders who are very impressionable, who need to know this more than they realize.
Right.
And I guess yesterday, the comment that I heard more than any, probably without exaggerating, at least 100 times was, and you, I bet you can imagine what it was, I wish I had had this when I was
We've said it ourselves plenty of times on the show and yesterday on the webcast. I had nothing like this, nothing. Like I told Derek yesterday, I didn't even know what I wanted to do for a living until about halfway through college. I finally figured it out. Maybe if I had had something like this, maybe I'd have figured that out a little sooner. It would have taken me 6 years to finish school.
Well, well, you know, thank you for the tuition, man.
You're welcome.
But you know, even when people change not only jobs but careers,
yeah.
If we as adults think about, I guess it's easy to fall into the trap and think we want to help provide a path for students to find their career.
Yeah.
When really what we want to do is to let them see the panorama of opportunities that there are. Somebody might be really interested in working with computers, and that's a good thing. But there are a lot of different ways to go. They may be in information technology, beginning in a help desk, and they have to help someone do a web page, and they find out that, well, you know, I really like this web page stuff, and so they begin web design, and it's kind of transitions, and then maybe they want to teach other people how to do it, so they become a teacher. I think it's really good to let students see at this age that there are a lot of possibilities.
There are. And, you know, the possibility for the Mississippi's future is a thought I had. Paige and Karen are telling me about how they're having a study done over the next 10 years to follow those kids from the Pathways to Possibilities program to see how they do and how maybe this Career Expo helped them. And you look at Mississippi, you know, it ranks near the bottom in economy and other such categories. What kind of impact can something like this have, especially if it keeps growing, for the state as a whole and for the economy, as these kids, you know, maybe have a little better direction than people my age, your age, did?
Well, that's exactly it. There's so many ways in which that can happen. For example, we talked about this yesterday. A student who visits the health sciences area, and they're over there with that $2.5 million Da Vinci robot,
right,
surgical robot, and they're playing with that. And that health sciences area is amazing.
Yeah.
So if they get the idea, oh, I'd like to be a doctor, because I see the doctor driving that really nice car and that living in that really nice house, then what we've said to the volunteers and the people in that pathway, well, if you see a student who's talking like that, why don't you send them over to the finance area, because they have something called the Pathway to Financial Success.
Yeah.
And they're leading them through the area. Different banks are over there, and they're talking to them about investment, saving. And when you know, your income might be high, but it costs you a lot.
Yeah.
You know, what does it cost a doctor to go to medical school? And the whole thing about college loans, student loans, when they get so burdened with student loans that they have to work for years and years and years to work themselves out of that hole. Credit scores and just the whole concept of being able to invest so that when you get to be 60 or 65 years old, you have something. And we're talking about not just money, but quality of life and what you get to do. If you like to fish, then wouldn't you like to be able to do something that provides the funds so that you can provide for your family and still have an enriched life because of hobbies? The panorama is just so, so, so wide. And I'm glad that Mississippi's economic future has an opportunity to look brighter because students are having these opportunities. And I'll tell you one more thing. Mm-hmm. I don't really apologize for being so excited, but I do get excited about this. In one of our meetings, I made the comment that I hope that after a few years of doing this with eighth graders, we can somehow modify the economic and socioeconomic picture of our region, that the sheriff begins having vacant cells in the jail down there, and pretty soon there's some empty spots down there. And he said to us, if you can do that, I'll pay the whole cost for this expo from now on. And so And that not only gets people out of jail, but it gives them a real life. You know, and I look at what's in front of us here right now.
There's kids here.
There's young people who are listening very intently to the editor of the local newspaper.
Rod Rojardo right here breaking it down for him right in front of us. It's good stuff.
And now, okay, in 3 weeks from today, really, these students are in their car and they pass the building where the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal is. Do they think they have the freedom to walk in there and sit down and visit with the editor who's very busy being an editor? Probably not.
Yeah.
But right now, they have his undivided attention.
Right.
And I can look in their eyes and tell they aren't just standing there. They're paying attention. We don't know. There may be one of those who someday owns a radio station.
You never know.
Or newspaper. Everywhere I look, there's just magic everywhere.
It's really cool. It's a really great event, and Dr. Anderson, appreciate you, all the effort you put into this event, and appreciate you coming on the show here.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me, and I know I talk a lot, but it's because I'm just overflowing with excitement and gratitude and enthusiasm and love for what we're doing. As a former teacher, I know you're not just making a difference in the lives of young people, you're improving the futures of young people.
Right.
And that's positive momentum, and I appreciate your going to all of this trouble to set this stuff up, to let people see so many opportunities. So thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Well, something for everyone here, kids and old folks like us.
Yeah.
To enjoy at the Imagine the Possibilities Career Expo that's been taking place over the last 2 days with Bancorp South Arena. And we've been happy to come to you both on the Google Hangout yesterday and the podcast today from Bancorp South Arena with 3,000 different eighth graders getting to experience all these different booths and events.
I haven't seen a single eye roll yet.
I have not.
Yeah.
And if it would have been me and it had been a job fair where they were just handing me literature and and that was it, and you know, maybe a little lecture, that's I probably would have given an eye roll. But these kids are engaged. They're all wearing these yellow hard hats. Brad's got his yellow hard hat on right
no,
now.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, no, I don't.
That's right. Yeah,
we tried that yesterday. It didn't work.
You could just lie. It's fine.
True. I'm wearing a yellow hard hat. Yes,
but,
I am.
But we have enjoyed our tenure here over the last couple of days, and we will be back again tomorrow with a brand-new episode. Brad not joining us. We'll be Lockie-less. Lockie-less.
You'll manage.
Yeah, we'll get through.
Lockless.
I don't know who we're having on, and our producer, Chris Kiefer, and we'll be talking a little Mud Magnolias with Lauren and Ellie as well. So be a change of pace after the last couple of days here at the Expo. Look forward to that. Check us out, memo.djournal.com. Memo.djournal.com is our home on the internet. Also, at djournalmemo on Twitter. Also, you can find out more about this Career Expo that's been going on in today's issue of your Daily Journal. Also, again, tomorrow, look for Emma Crawford's story of the Imagine the Possibilities Career Expo. You can also find those at djournal.com, our home on the internet, and our Daily Journal Twitter, at djournalnow. Brad's on the Twitter, at Brad Lockie. Brad Locke with the E.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll quit. You're getting agitated. And I don't really like the eye roll. You're the only person I've seen give an eye roll in 2 days of the Career Expo. All the eighth graders are happy, and you just rolled your eyes at me. I'm at W. Derek Russell, our producer, at Chris Kiefer on the Twitter as well. And we'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode for you guys.